This week I'll be preaching from Matthew chapter 4. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. There are certain things in life that are certain. Guaranteed. Death and taxes. You can count on them. There are also certain things in our spiritual life that are certain. One of those is you will experience temptation. You are going to be tempted in your spiritual life. Another thing that's certain is if you give in to that temptation, you will sin. And if you sin, it will have a detrimental effect on you, your spiritual life, and on the life of others. Now, since these are true, it stands to me to reason that you and I need to know how to stand against temptation and experience victory over temptation. We're going to be tempted throughout our lives. Let's gain the victory. In our passage today, we're looking at the temptation that Satan put against the Lord Jesus, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel in that fourth chapter. As we look at this passage today, there are three things that we will understand and discover. Number one, we will talk about Satan's tactics, and we'll learn something of his tactics when he wants to tempt us. Secondly, we will learn something of the nature of temptation, its complexity. And then thirdly, we will see how Jesus defeated temptation and how you and I can defeat the temptation that the enemy would put against us. Let's read first, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." First, let's gather some insights about Satan's tactics. Number one, notice that Satan seeks to tempt us after some great spiritual experience. If you will read preceding this passage in chapter 3 of Matthew, you will see that Jesus had just come through a tremendous spiritual experience. He had been baptized by John the Baptist. And upon that baptism, heaven had opened up and God the Father had said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit had descended as a dove on the Lord Jesus. It was after this spiritual experience that the enemy came to tempt Jesus. You and I need to take note that we are very susceptible to temptation after a great spiritual experience. Pastor John MacArthur tells the story of his high school football days when the team that he was playing on were beating the opponent by 50 points. And so the coach was playing everybody on the team. And he said they were about to score again. And so the coach put in the fourth string running back, who was a senior, realizing this would be the only opportunity this guy would ever have to score a touchdown in his high school career. And of course, the town knew this was the case with the guy. So when he went in the game and they anticipated that he was going to be scoring the touchdown, they got behind him and they started cheering. And sure enough, he scored the touchdown easily. And the crowd just went wild. And he was so excited, he turned and waved at the crowd, but he kept running and he hit the goal post and knocked him out. a short-lived victory. That's the way it is with us sometimes with our spiritual experiences. We have a great spiritual experience, like maybe we've come back from a mission trip, or maybe the Lord has just given us a great time in the Word, or perhaps we've seen some prayer answered that we've been praying for years. And then all of a sudden, man, we fall to some temptation because we have let down our guard. We've been rejoicing and so excited about the victory we saw. We turned and waved at the crowd and we hit the goalpost and knocked us over. Be careful when you're experiencing a great spiritual high. It's then the enemy will sneak in the attack when you're most susceptible. Secondly, notice Satan really begins to tempt us when we begin to get serious about serving God. The baptism of the Lord Jesus that preceded this temptation was the beginning of His public ministry on earth. As He began this public ministry, Satan moves in to tempt Jesus. When you get serious about serving God, Satan will begin to assault you at a new level. As long as you're satisfied just to rock along, then you probably won't experience too much hassle from the enemy. But if you are considering being a deacon, and when we talk to our deacon candidates, we have learned that we need to tell them, if you come on as a deacon, you can expect the spiritual warfare to intensify in your life. We learned to do that because we saw some of our new deacons fall to some temptations, and it made us realize we needed to warn them ahead of time so they could be prepared. You become a missionary appointee, you can expect the spiritual warfare intensity to step up a few notches. You can ask the Rankins. They can verify. Anytime you get serious about serving God, you can expect the enemy to intensify his attacks. If you have committed to spend more time in the Word during this Faith Comes From Hearing campaign, you can expect the enemy to intensify his attacks. You can expect more things to happen to try to keep you out of the Word. We must not allow these times of greater intensity of service to catch us blindsided and unprepared for the attacks of the enemy. Third thing, notice Satan realizes that we are more susceptible to temptation when we are physically and mentally and emotionally exhausted. Notice the Scripture says that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, has anybody in here fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, only had water to drink? Not too many people do that nowadays. It would be tremendously difficult. It would be exhausting. I mean, just camping out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights would exhaust you and I. But being out there and being 40 days, 40 nights, tired and hungry, Satan comes at this point because he knows Jesus is exhausted. And so he tempts him. You come home from work and you are totally exhausted. You are worn out. You fought the traffic going to work and coming home. Your boss has fussed at you. He's given you more work than you can do in a month, and he's told you he wanted it done in a week. And you come in the door tired and exhausted, and what do? Start fussing at your wife and your kids before you can even sit down and have your supper. You get sick, you feel bad, and you're susceptible to temptations. You're going through stress, and you're tempted to turn to drugs or alcohol to relieve that stress. I remember a few years ago I had the flu. And I remember how spiritually weak I felt during that time. I was physically exhausted and weak. It's amazing the connection between our spirit and our body. You're just sick and you're worn out and you're just upset stomach and you're just drained and you just find yourself getting depressed. Emotionally, you find yourself worrying about things. You find yourself being fearful. All of these things are the enemy attacking you because he knows that you're physically and emotionally drained. And so he moves in at that time. So be aware, when you're physically, emotionally, or mentally drained and exhausted, put up your guard. You can be certain temptations are going to come your way. And then fourthly, Satan will seek to attack you through your natural desires. Jesus was hungry after 40 days without eating. Satan tempted Esau in this way. You remember when he was hungry, he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. I believe hunger may have well figured into Eve's temptation to eat that beautiful fruit. It was beautiful to the eyes and looked delightful. Satan will take legitimate, God-given human desires such as hunger, a quest for knowledge, a desire for procreation, and he will seek to pervert that and tempt us. He takes that natural desire for hunger and he wants to use that and tempt us for gluttony and to being a drunkard. He takes our natural desire for love and he wants to pervert that and tempt us toward pornography and fornication and adultery. He takes our natural desire for knowledge, our quest for knowledge, and wants to turn that into a devilish curiosity that puts us into the things of the occult and other areas of darkness, because we're curious. So he takes a normal desire that in itself is good and healthy, and he seeks to pervert it, exaggerate it, and tempt us through that. Think about how many of the temptations that come your way come through a natural desire that in itself is not bad. But it's when it's exaggerated, or perverted, or satisfied in the wrong way or at the wrong time that it becomes sinful. So, when you're tired, when you're physically exhausted, when you're sick, when you have had a great spiritual experience, put your guard up. Be aware. The enemy is on the prowl. He's looking to attack you. Next, let's look at the nature of temptation. Temptation is never simple. It is always complex. Satan attacks us on many fronts at once. This one temptation contains many temptations. It's not a simple question of making a stone turn into bread. It's much more complex than that. There are at least three temptations embedded in this temptation. First, it was a temptation to use his power for his own ends and desires. Basically, Satan was saying to Jesus, "Okay, Jesus, you're hungry. Now you have the power to make these stones bread, so why not do it? Why not go ahead and use that power to feed yourself, to satisfy your desire for hunger? After all, that's a legitimate desire. I mean, you have to eat to live. And so it's legitimate to fulfill your desire of hunger." You see, Satan knew that mankind is selfish by nature and he seeks his own way, his own betterment. Given enough power and given enough time, man will use his power and his time to advance himself. Therefore, the adage has come down to us, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Give a man enough power, and give Him enough time, and He will use that power to advance Himself to His own selfish ends. Satan was tempting Jesus to advance Himself by using His power. Praise God, Jesus resisted. You look through the Gospels, you will see that Jesus never, not once, did He ever use His power to advance Himself or to help Himself. He always used His power to help others. He relied on the power of God the Father when He was in need. Notice during His trial, during His beating, during His crucifixion, He could have used His power to deliver Himself. But He did not. Satan never lets up tempting Jesus at this point. Throughout His ministry, Satan kept coming back to Jesus and tempting Him to use His power to advance Himself and His cause. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, Satan said to Him through those leaders, He saved others, but He cannot save Himself. Or, come down and we will believe in you. Tempting Jesus to use His power to advance Himself. And Satan tempts you and I the same way. Are you using any powers that you may have to accomplish your own will rather than the will of God? Husbands, are you using the power that God has given you as the head of the family to accomplish your own will rather than the will of God for your family? Employers, are you using the power that God's given you to advance your own will rather than the will of God? Leaders, we need to continually ask ourselves, Lord, am I seeking my desire rather than yours? Am I in any way using the power that you've given me to advance myself, to benefit myself, rather than benefit others and advance your kingdom? The mark of a good ruler, the measure of a good ruler, is he does not use his power to advance himself, but he uses it to advance others and to accomplish the will of God. Jesus never used His powers to advance Himself, but He only used His powers to advance the will of God and to help others. The second temptation was a temptation to take the easy road and not the way of the cross. If Jesus had turned that one stone into bread, then why not turn all the stones in the Judean wilderness to bread and feed the whole nation of Israel? If Jesus had come to them and filled their stomachs, they would have made Him king. They would have followed Him. They would have proclaimed Him the Messiah. In fact, John tells us when He fed the 5,000, they wanted to make Him king. He had to hide and get away from them because they were going to force Him to be king. Just like today, this nation will elect the man in the White House that they think will put bread on their table and money in their pocketbook. The reason Bill Clinton got elected the first time was because he promised to give people more money, to improve the economy. And people said, forget morals, I want money in my pocketbook. I want a chicken in every pot. How many politicians have run on that premise? Cut taxes. Give you more money. They would have made Jesus king. And He wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Satan said, take the easy way. Don't go the hard way. Any way but the way of the cross, but the way of suffering. Now, Jesus had a heart of compassion for people, so He would have loved to have fed all the people. He would love to have relieved them of their physical needs and hunger. He knew what the cross was about. No doubt growing up he had seen people crucified. He knew how gruesome and painful and torturous it was. And Satan was saying, don't take the way of the cross. And it appears legitimate. I mean, to want to help people, to want to feed people. Everybody recognizes that's a good service. But it was not God's way to save men. Satan will always offer an alternative to God's plan. An easy road. One that may look good, but it's not what God wants. The way of the cross was the way God had for Jesus to save mankind. Unbeliever, are you tempted to take another way other than the way of the cross to come to Christ? Satan would come to you and tempt you to take an easier road. Well, just do good. Just compare yourself to other people, and if you're better than they are, then hey, you can go to heaven. Or, you know, just be sincere. If you're just sincere, then God will accept you. That's Satan's way. The only way to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Total surrender and total commitment. You and I as Christians need to be careful as well. Satan will come to us and substitute a fake or a pseudo plan for God's plan. And it will be much easier. It will be an easier road to travel. God calls you into ministry, but instead of going into ministry, you say, well, I'll just teach a Sunday school class. God calls you into missions, but you say, well, instead of going to missions, I'll just, you know, be real active in the missions of my church. And I'll help promote missions in the church. Instead of paying the price to grow spiritually, which is death to self, commitment to the Lord, and repenting from sin in our lives, Satan offers us some quick fix. Go to this seminar. Do this Bible study. And you'll have instant spiritual growth. Doesn't happen that way. Spiritual growth is slow. It's steady. It's painful. It involves death to self. And that always hurts. So Christian, be careful. Don't accept Satan's substitute that will look easy. May even look better than God's plan for you. The third aspect of this temptation is Jesus was tempted not to believe God would provide for him. Basically, Satan is saying to Jesus, Jesus, you've been here 40 days, 40 nights. How many of those days has God the Father provided food for you? Well, none. Well, now you've been here 40 days and 40 nights and you've had absolutely nothing to eat. Now, what makes you think God the Father is going to provide anything for you now? He hadn't provided it in 40 days. You just need to take things in your own hands. You know, God helps them that help themselves, right? So you just need to help yourself. I mean, you have the power to turn the stones into bread, and God just expects you to use that power. He's not going to help you as long as you can help yourself. You just need to reach down to your own bootstraps and pull yourself up, Jesus. The heart of the temptation was to disbelieve that God would provide for him. To take it in his own hands. To think God had left him, God had abandoned him, and that God would not provide for him. And you know, Satan comes to you and I and he tempts us in the same way. He says, you've been praying to God for 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 months, and he hadn't done anything. What makes you think he's going to do anything now? You just need to take things in your own hands and do it yourself. You're the captain of your own fate and the master of your own soul. God's expecting you to do something. He's not going to help you. He's abandoned you. You go and do what you need to do. Look in verse 11 of our passage. After Jesus was tempted, it says, then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Oh yes. God sent his angels to minister to the Lord Jesus in God's time. Not in the devil's time. The temptation is to rely on our strength when it doesn't look like God's doing anything. We're facing a problem. We're up against a wall. And we prayed and we waited and we've looked to God and no bread's come. We're going on 40 days. We feel like we've been in a spiritual fast. Will you trust God or will you take it in your own hands? Decide, well, I guess I just got to work it out. Or will you continue to say, God, I believe you. I trust you. I cannot see you, but you're God and you're not going to let me down. I'm going to continue to look to you and be obedient to your will for my life. Jesus knew God would provide in His time and His way, and He waited on God. He didn't give in to that temptation. Now let's look at how Jesus defeated the temptation of Satan. Jesus defeated it with Scripture. The number one way to defeat the temptations of Satan is with the Word of God. And that makes sense because, number one, Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. He will tempt you through his lies. The Bible is truth. Nothing dispels a lie like truth. Lies are darkness. The Scripture is light. Nothing dispels darkness like light. You go in a dark room, and all darkness is the absence of light. You turn on the light, and where does that darkness go? It's gone. You turn the Word of God on the temptations of Satan, and the truth of God will dispel the lie of Satan. That's what Jesus did. Satan said, hey, take it upon yourself. Go ahead. God's left you. He's abandoned you. Take your own power. Make yourself some bread. Satisfy your hunger. After all, if you die here of starvation, you can't very well be the Messiah, can you? And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, why did Jesus choose that verse? Of all the verses available to him, why choose that verse for that temptation? Well, that verse comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the passage has to do with the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness that Israel went through, and the hardships that they went through during those 40 years. That God put them through difficulties and hardships to humble them, Moses told them. And he goes on to say, God humbled you so that you would learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, what does he mean by that? He's saying, man does not live by his own strength. Man does not live in his own power. Man does not live by his own means and his own ingenuity. But man lives by the power of God. Man lives by trusting in God. You see, we think we can do it, but then God breaks us. He humbles us. He knocks us down. And what do? We realize we cannot do it on our own, and we trust Him. And that's what Moses was telling the nation of Israel. God put you through these hardships so you'd learn that lesson. Hey, we cannot do it. We can't live by bread alone. We can't sustain ourselves on physical nourishment alone. We must have the spiritual power of God in our lives. We cannot sustain ourselves on physical means. We must have the spiritual. And so when Satan is tempting Jesus to take it upon himself and to help himself out of this difficulty, to do it in his own strength, Jesus uses this verse to say, oh, but devil, God says we shall not live in our own strength, by our own means, trusting in ourselves, but we shall live trusting in God by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are you living by bread alone today? Are you trying to solve your problems in your own strength, in your own ingenuity, in your own means and devices? Or are you trusting God? Are you living by the Word of God? Looking to Him as your strength, as your source of wisdom,
as the one who will bring you through that difficulty, that hardship. Satan will come and want you to trust yourself. He'll want you to take it in your own hands. And it may look bleak, it may look desperate. But will you do like Jesus and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be obedient to what He shows me to do. And you may well do something, but you know it won't be in your own strength. You'll be doing it because you know God wants you to do it, and you'll do it trusting Him. And then you won't be living by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You may be experiencing temptation right this moment. Maybe it's to fear about something, be afraid about something. Maybe it's to doubt God. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's another temptation. Jesus has given us the key to victory. Stand in the power of God. Stand on the Word of God. And believe God, and you will experience victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Spirit to take Your Word and drive it home to our lives, to show us how we might stand against the assaults of the enemy in the power of Your Spirit through Your Word. Take Your Word now and minister it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you an opportunity to respond today as the Holy Spirit has dealt with you. If you need to come and pray, feel free to do that. If you need to talk with me about your spiritual condition, if you realize you don't know Christ in a personal way, but you desire to know Him, you want to be born again and have your sins forgiven and have a place in heaven. If you desire Christ more than anything and you're willing to turn away from anything in your life that may not be pleasing to Him, that's repentance. And come to Him in simple trust, believing He is your Savior. He did everything necessary for you to be saved, to have eternal life. Then just step out and take my hand. I'll be glad to pray with you. We'll have someone counsel with you and explain in detail what it means to know Christ.